Get started in our sermon on today. We're in Psalm 8. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you can. And there's one in front of you if you need it. Listen, as we talk from our series, Life Is, and the study in the book of Psalms, and we're talking today about the glory of God. You guys, if you were here the last 2 weeks, Pastor Alf came on our first Sunday and told us it's not a secret how to live the blessed life and what we need to do. He talked about meditating on the word of God. Let's see if you guys remember that analogy he gave us about an animal that was doing something whenever he's meditating, or to make us think about meditating. This is a long time ago. The cow that's chewing on the cud and just chewing. And if that's like us meditating on the word of God both day and night. That was Psalm 1. And then Pastor Dwayne came and ministered from Psalm 2. Talked about the fact that there's a blessing when we meditate on the word of God and when we fall under his authority, and that's when we recognize who the true king is. We're going to talk about that in our table group, asking ourselves the question, you know, who's king of our life? Who's actually the one that's on the throne in our life? You're the next slide. Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Alf did give us this on yesterday. That handout is in the back. It's an outline of the books of Psalms. So let's go ahead and do a little background, a little talk real quick. So Psalms are not divided into chapters. They're actually divided into five books. And in those five books, there are 150 Psalms. Does that make sense? That Psalms are hymns and poems and sayings. There are 150 of those that are found in the five books. And we're going to pick certain Psalms from these books. We're starting in book one. Again, Pastor Al started in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, which is like an introduction to the whole book. But this is our first message in book one, talking about the Psalms. And so if you get a chance, let me not say that. When you leave today, grab that outline in the back. The prayer calendar's back there, the outline of our sermon series. And you'll see a pattern throughout Psalms that kind of relates to our life, where God sets things in motion and puts things in place. And because of the fall, whenever you go to book two, they're looking at God coming back and reigning. But during that time, they end up falling and going down into captivity. And then in book four, you see them coming back out of it with a sort of hope. And then book five talks about praise. So think about it in your life when everything's going good and you're on the straight and narrow. And then every now and then we hit those downslopes. The book of Psalms tells us this: no matter how bad your downslope is, you're going to come out of it. And in coming out of it, think about it like this. You're going from book 3, 4, 5. So this is life. When you find yourself down, there will always be a chance to come up. And when you come up, book 5 talks about praising God. Book 5 is all about hallelujahs and singing praises to God because of what he's done and for how he's provided in our lives. So even today, if you find yourself in a situation where you may be in a bad place, like book 3 was, in exile, in the valley, in a bad place, remember, you can always have hope that God's going to bring you out. So that's what you're going to see as we go throughout the book of Psalms, where we see God bring us out of our situations, and we can praise God at the bottom of this thing. It talks about, may the Lord God of Israel be blessed forever. Amen and amen, because God will bring us out of our situations. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to talk a little bit about our psalm on today, just some background, because it's good to know what we're getting into before I give you my points. So listen, David is the author. When you go throughout the psalms, you find that a lot of those are attributed to David, and this is one of them. It's also a hymn of praise. Listen, we sang that song at the end, talking about how awesome are your ways, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And this psalm actually starts out, and it says it at the beginning, and it says it at the end, kind of to sum up the fact that David is saying, God, you're awesome. He's saying God is majestic at the beginning, and he talks about all of these things, and then at the end, he reemphasizes it and says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What does Pastor Taylor want to say about this second point is this: you should have a praise at your house even when you're not in church. So people are like, okay, so Miss Anthonika and Miss Aaron and Pastor Taylor led us in worship today, and this was a time where we praised. But I'll say this, the songs give us an opportunity. Let's say this, life gives us an opportunity to praise God each and every day, not just when we come into the house of God. And so today, yes, we're talking about this hymn of praise, this praise that David put forth about how awesome God was. But I'm going to encourage you during your prayer time, during your devotion time, while you're at work or riding along in your car, have your own time where you praise God. And listen, you may not have a voice like Donnie McClurkin or C.C. Winans or somebody that's a professional singer, but God wants to hear from you. And so we get an opportunity to praise God each and every day. So my encouragement, again, is that you have your own praise sessions, your own worship sessions while you're at home. And if you are inclined to be a worshiper or a singer, I need your help on the praise team. Cheap plug, huh, Aaron? Listen, we want to get as many people participating in our ministries as possible. So if you sing, if you play, if you have an interest in starting something, please let us know. This is a hymn of praise. Again, this is part of book one out of the 5 books of Psalms we're going to talk about throughout this series. And then I think this is the last one. This psalm reveals the glory of God in creation. That's background that we want to talk about. And as we talk about the glory of God, let me put this message forth. And if you don't get anything out of what I say today, remember this. In absolutely everything we do, we're called to bring glory to God. I'm going to say that again. Everything we do, and we're going to go through some different examples a little later on in our sermon. Everything we do, each and every day that we're alive on this earth, we're called to bring glory to God. Because again, that's why we're here. It's to point people to who God is and to bring glory to him. So as Donovan goes to law school, and as Miss Ellen participates with Together New Orleans, and as Miss Yasmin and Carrie move to Texas, and as Aaron is at school, and while Dwayne's doing chaplain work, they're called to bring glory to God. I can go through this with each and every person in this room. And you say, well, I don't qualify for what you said, Pastor Taylor, because I don't think I'm called to bring glory to God. Each and every one of us are called to bring glory to God. As Kat takes photographs, as JT participates in his triathlon in a couple of weeks, we're going to pray for him. He's called to bring glory to God in his attitude and the way that he carries himself in everything we do. The way that you drive your car. Look, everybody's like, wait a minute, he's meddling now. We're called to bring glory to God. When people look at us, they should see God's glory. When they hear us, they should see God's glory. So in saying that, we go through this psalm, and we read through it at the beginning, and there are these 9 verses that talks about all of this glory. And you say, so Pastor Taylor, where do we see God's glory? Listen, the first place we see it is in nature. In Psalm 8:3, it says this, when I consider your heavens, who is your heavens? Who is he talking to? When I consider God's heavens. When I see the work of your fingers, he's talking to God. The moon and the stars which you, God, have set in place. He's talking about nature right here. And it goes all the way back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, it said this, God said, and there was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And it says that the Spirit of God moved on the waters. And then God said, let us make. And things started happening. And everything that he made, after he made it, he said what? It was good. And so this scripture goes back to Genesis 1 where God was just putting these things in place out of nothing. It didn't just happen on its own. Now I'm meddling again. Because my background is education, so I'll run into people and they'll put different theories forth or different postulates forth, and they'll say like, well, this happened and this ball of gas interacted with this ball of gas, and when all those ball of gases came together, then there was light, and then there was water, and then all of this stuff came about. And I say this, you have to have more faith to believe in that than to believe that God just spoke it into existence. Because nothing just happens. Nothing just comes about. And in nature, we see God's creation on full display. So I woke up the other morning and, you know, I go to bed early so I can wake up early so I can work out early. So don't be alarmed when I say this. 4 o'clock a.m., I'm about to go run and I look up and we never, or hardly ever do you see stars in New Orleans. Like when you look up, usually you see nothing because it's fog and smog and maybe you might see the moon. But for some reason, I think that was Wednesday morning, I looked up and the moon was clear and the stars were shining. And even at night, because of how clear it was, the clouds were showing forth. And I was like, man, God is awesome. That at 4 o'clock, before I go out on my run, I'm looking up and I'm looking at all of this stuff and I'm saying, this didn't just happen. There had to be a master builder. There had to be a master creator that put these things in place. And again, God did it all by himself. He put the stars in the sky. He made this earth that we're actually inhabiting and all of this stuff that we're privy of. And so since God did all of that and he said that it was good, listen, we have a role and a responsibility in taking care of what God made good. So, okay, we see God's glory in nature. Pastor Taylor, what does that mean for me? That means that when it comes to things like water preservation, we should do our job. I'm about to mess around again. So I saw the, you know, in California, they have all of the wildfires and everything that's going on, and they're talking about preserving water. And then in Atlanta, they were talking about a couple of athletes and actors that were using hundreds of thousands of water every day, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water every day just to take a bath. And their response whenever the news, you know, came forward and said, what do you have to say about this? They said this, it's mine. I'll do what I want to do with it. I'm paying for it, so I'll just go ahead and use as much as I want to. Really what that is that's a selfish way of thinking because that's taking away from the possible water that other people can have. Do you guys know that there are other parts of the world where clean water is not as free as it is here? Yes, thank you. My head went all the way to Africa and all of those other places, and then I was like, oh no, Mississippi, right down the road, where there's something that's going on with the water, and whenever things in nature aren't going right, then the people aren't going to be able to actually flourish and actually benefit from God's creation. So listen, as we, and again, that's in Jackson, so people say that doesn't pertain to us, but what if it happens in New Orleans? So what are you saying, Pastor Taylor? I'm telling you, be careful with how you use your water. You're like, I don't use that much water. Okay, let me go to the next one and see if this one will apply to you. Your fuel in driving, in terms of the ozone layer, in terms of people that don't think much about driving or how that's going to mess with nature or anything. And other people will push back and say, well, everybody should get bikes and nobody should have a car. And you know, that's going too far down the line. I just want to put this forward that we need to be mindful of how we use the resources that God has given to us. We need to be mindful of this creation that God's put in place. And if we're doing things to take away from that or to make it worse, then we need to check ourselves and say this, I'm not glorifying God in how I'm using this resource. I said water, I said fuel. Are you, and I'm about to put myself on blast now. Are you recycling when you get the opportunity? Do you get a chance to recycle? I had a recycle bin when I moved to Holly Grove, and now it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. That's annoying. Maybe got recycled. But it's not something that's just gonna happen. We have to be intentional when we're able to make a difference in little small things like that. And in making little small changes like that, each one of us can make a difference in our environment. Listen, to make a better environment for those that are coming after us. The people will say, well, Jesus is coming back, and so there won't be many generations after us. We don't know that. God's glory is seen in nature, and he put the heavens in place. He worked out the moon and the stars and all of this stuff, and since God said it was good, we need to take care of it. Next one, where else do we see God's glory? We see God's glory in animals. take a deep breath before I start here, because I'm going to probably make some people mad. God's glory is seen in animals. Look at what it says. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the field, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. David is saying this. All of these animals were made, listen, back to Genesis 1. When God made all of the animals, he said, and it was good. And so if God put all of these things in place and made these animals and put them here on earth for us to dwell with them, then that means that we have a role and a responsibility in taking care of them. So Pastor Taylor, what does it mean whenever people go hunting? What does it mean whenever people go fishing? What does it mean whenever people use the animals as their food source? Again, taboo topic, controversial for a lot of people, but I'll say this. God allowed them to use animals for food source back in the day. That God allowed them to use animals back in the day for sacrifices. You never hear God saying, use a human being for a sacrifice. Use a human being to make this burnt offering. It's always animals. But listen, if we're using it for the thing that God prescribed it for, that doesn't give us license to just harm animals just to do it. Does that make sense? That animals that are a part of God's creation, if you see people that are intentionally harming animals or doing damage to them or not caring for them when they have them in their possession, then they're not being good stewards of what God put in place. Here we go. I'm about to push back, though. If you have a pet, that does not mean that your pet means more than a human life. The one where I'm not going to give many amens. Look, Miss Evelyn just looked down. She's like, what is Pastor Tina? I have friends that won't give a cup of water to a homeless person or to someone on the street, but they'll take care of their pet all day. I'm telling you, this, again, controversial. People are like, well, they can do for themselves. They can get their own water. But listen, and we're going to talk about it in this next portion. God crown human beings with glory and honor and made them in his image. So if we find ourselves able to help human lives over animal lives, I'll say that God's calling for us to care for our fellow brothers and sisters more than we care for animals. Yeah, I was expecting it to get quiet. In terms of salvation, God's calling us to minister to our brothers and sisters who need salvation and are going to go to either heaven or hell one day. And will animals be in heaven? Will pets be in heaven? I don't know. Some say they will. Some say they won't. The Bible gives a picture of animals that are going to be in heaven one day. My question is this. Who decides which animals go to heaven? This dog that ran after me the other day whenever I was running, is he going to heaven? I'm very upset, JT. I had a good... I did kill it. I just outran it, but it was after me. I'm glad I wasn't tired at the time. But is that animal going to heaven when it's trying to bite my ankles? Who decides if this animal makes it to heaven? Is your pet going to go to heaven if it's biting other people? I'm going to get off of this subject. God's glory is seen also in animals. So we see God's glory in nature, we see God's glory in animals, but listen, this is the most important part of the message where we see God's glory. God's glory is seen in mankind, that he's seen in us. Listen, it says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them, this is the important part, crowned them with glory and honor. God crowns us with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. Listen, it's staggering to me to think about this, that no matter how many times I mess up, no matter how many times I fall short, no matter how many times I don't do what God has called me to do, God has still crowned me with glory and honor. That he still thinks I'm special, and God himself has crowned us with glory and honor. Let's bring it to today. Queen Elizabeth just passed away, and I was looking at it on TV, and there's the fanfare, and rightfully so. She's been on the throne for so long over there in the United Kingdom, and pomp and circumstance, and everything was given for her, and now her son is going to become the king. Her son is Charles.
Yep.
So Prince Charles becomes the king now, and he gets crowned with the title of king. And as I was looking at that and thinking about the sermon, Matt did call me out earlier. He was like, you get to preach your sermon today that you've been having for the past 3 weeks. Yes, Matt, I get to preach it today. But when that came up with Queen Elizabeth, and I thought about this, they are crowned with royalty by men. Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles, eventually, I guess Harry's going to get it. No, William's going to get it after that, maybe. I don't know. They're crowned by men, and we're crowned by God. And so people are, again, we don't really understand this concept of kings and queens and princes and princesses here in the United States, but it's a big deal to people because they have royalty. They're crowned with all of this authority as being royal in that state. And I started thinking, what better to be crowned, or who better to crown us than God himself? And if that's the case, that means that all of us are royal. That means that each and every one of us fall in the category of heaven and the kingdom of God as being kings and queens and princes and princesses, because God has crowned us with glory and honor. And I think too many times we look at other people in different situations in life, and we'll look at the royal family, or we'll look at, let's bring it to America, we'll look at actresses and actors and all of these maybe politicians or people that have all of this prestige. And there's a fleshly side of us that maybe may long for that, when we need to remember, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the capital K King, who has crowned me with glory and honor. And so since God has crowned me with glory and honor, once again, that means I'm something. That means that I'm special. That means that this life that I'm living in and what God has put on the inside of me is something that I don't need to take for granted. I need to be able to share this with everyone I come across and let them know that this same God that has crowned me with glory and honor has crowned you too. And since God has crowned us with glory and honor, those of us who follow him and those of us who are a part of his family, listen, that means we have a role and a responsibility. That this glory, this spirit that God's put on the inside of me, he's not just put it on the inside of me and on the inside of you to just have and just to go to heaven one day. He's saying this glory that I have crowned you with, this honor that I have crowned you with, not only are you to be rulers over these animals and over nature and all of this stuff that you see in society, but each and every person who you encounter, they need to see my glory in you. So the categories I'm thinking about is this. Listen, in your family, whether it's your immediate family or those that are right outside of your family, maybe cousins or aunts or uncles or even siblings, they need to see God's glory on the inside of you. Listen, by you being the best blank that you can be, being the best, put it in the blank, wherever you find yourself in the family. If it's a husband, you need to be the best husband you can be. If it's a wife, being the best wife you can be, the best child you can be, the best aunt or uncle that you can be. But listen, you can't do it on your own. You have to pray and ask God to give you wisdom to do it. And so the strength to let God's glory show forth in you has to come from God. Because if you don't ask God for that strength, then whenever they work on your last nerve, they're not going to see God's glory. That whenever that child comes and the child is screaming, or the spouse is coming and the spouse is nagging, or the spouse is coming and he's not doing what you want him to do. If you're not asking God for strength to be able to deal with that situation, then God's glory is not going to be seen. What's going to be seen is you. And anytime people see us and they don't see God's glory, we're not being good stewards of his glory. That God has crowned us with glory and with honor. So as I said in the beginning of the sermon today, no matter where we find ourselves or no matter what we're doing, listen, no matter what situation comes our way, people need to know that God lives on the inside of me. And too many times people, this may have cut off. Maybe I cut it off. People people need to know that God's glory is on the inside of us. And that when you get the pink slip on your job, the way that you react brings glory to God. And whenever your loved one dies, or whenever that special person walks out on you, people need to look at you and see the way that you react, and they say, that's the glory of God. Whenever family members say they're going to do one thing and they don't do it, or whenever co-workers do something to slight your name or to say something bad about you, the way that you react brings glory to God. And all of us need to be mindful, if I'm not reacting the right way, if I'm not letting the strength of God flow through me and showing forth God's glory, then what people are going to see is my flesh. And if the flesh comes forth, the flesh can never glorify God. Pastor Taylor, the flesh can never glorify God. Think about it. When you really think about it, the flesh, the Bible says, is always at war with the spirit. Think about this. The spirit, your spirit's always going to want to glorify God. Your spirit's always going to be like, let me wake up, come to church, sing, participate in church throughout the week, give my time to the things of God. And on the flip side, the flesh is going to be like, stay in bed. For me, my flesh is going to be like, don't worry about that. Don't glorify God on that side. Go ahead and glorify yourself. And anytime we find ourselves glorifying ourselves, or fulfilling something of the flesh, or actually doing something that's against the word of God, we're not being good stewards of this glory and this honor that God has given to us. I really want y'all to think about that this week as you're going into your separate places. And when that situation arises, when that thing comes up that you're not expecting, imagine yourself with the crown on top of your head. A crown of glory and a crown of honor. Before you open your mouth and speak, or rebuttal, or whatever, imagine yourself with this crown on the top of your head and say this: God has crowned me with his glory and with his honor, so I don't have to curse this person out. You're like, oh, well, you know, it's the way I was brought up, Pastor Taylor, so I got a bad mouth, so I just go ahead and say whatever comes up. No, you don't have to do it if you think about the glory and honor that you have on your head. We see God's glory in mankind. We see it all throughout his church. We see it all throughout nature. We see it in animals. God's glory is everywhere. And again, the question that we have to ask ourselves as we get ready to leave is this: does my life glorify God? When people think of me, when my face pops in people's head, whenever people see me at work or in the community, do they say, that's a man of God? That's a woman of God. That's somebody that's living a humble life, that's looking to take care of other people. That's a person who's letting the fruit of the Spirit show forth in their life. The glory of God is seen in everything they do. And listen, sometimes we may fall, but what we do is get back up, pray and ask God to help us the next time. But I'm a strong believer. We should be doing it right more than we're doing it wrong. Does that make sense? That we should be glorifying God more times than falling and stumbling and actually glorifying the flesh, or glorifying the devil, or glorifying the world. We should be glorifying God. So again, the question, we're going to talk about it in table group this week: does my life glorify God? Wherever you find yourself this week, God has shared his glory with us. God has shared. Do you all understand how monumental that is, that the glory of God that was seen in the things that he created and all of these things that he did in Genesis 1 in creating the universe, this glory, this honor, this power God has shared with us and allowed us to rule over the stuff that he put in place, he's given us roles and responsibilities. And none of us can say, like, I don't have a part to play in this. I don't have I'm not a player in this game that God has put forth. God has done it, and he's called us to do it. And again, the only way we can do it is daily asking God, Lord, I need your help. God, I need your help. Soon as my foot gets out of the bed
it hits the floor, God, I need help on how I'm going to interact with my family, how I'm going to interact with my coworkers, with my community members, with people that I run into when I make it to Costco, with people that I'm not expecting to call or send me a text, with people that I engage with on social media, that we're called to glorify God. Last thing, then I'm going to pray. If you're not using your social media for something that's going to glorify God, you probably should get off of it. That's a hard one, Miss Elvin. That's my entertainment. I go in, I laugh at stuff on social media, and sometimes I send comments that aren't godly, and maybe I may curse or everything now and then. Our social media should be used to glorify God. Can I get an amen to that? Because the way we interact with those on social media that we may never run into in person, those that we may never meet physically, but we get to meet them over this social channel, we're called to glorify God. Praying and asking God for strength. So let that be the take home today. Do people see my life as something that glorifies God? And then, God, I need you to give me the strength to do it. Because we may think we're doing it all day. I can be self-deluded and think that I'm doing it. God, I need you to reveal areas of my life where I may not be glorifying you. And once you reveal them to me, give me the strength to do it. That's the power of accountability. That's the power of being together. That's the power, as Yasmin said, whenever she goes to Texas and they get with the church family there, of actually connecting with them and being able to pour into each other's lives. I see this in your life. I see this talent in your life, Carrie. I see this talent in your life, Yasmin. I see this struggle in your life, Yasmin. I see this struggle in your life, Carrie. And y'all can do that for them as well. And whenever people point out, listen, if somebody's really close to you and they point out a struggle that you may have or something that they see, that's the time to pray. That's not the time to say, like, oh no, Pastor Dwayne got it wrong. I don't know why he said that I'm a introvert. I am. The good chance that the people that are close to you will see things in your life that may not be lining up with God's will or may not actually be glorifying God. And when my brother says something, I pray about it and ask God to give me the strength to be able to walk it out and to glorify him in everything that I do. Does my life glorify God? Go to that last slide. Pastor Dwayne, it's all about the glory of God. Everything. When we leave this place today, whenever we go through our homes, whenever we interact with people, remember, Pastor Taylor said, Psalm 8, David reminds us, it's all about God's glory. Amen. Now let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for today. And God, we know that we can't do this on our own. And God, our desire, our spirit wants to glorify you in all that we do. We know we have an enemy. We know that the world and the flesh and the devil fights against this word that we shared on this morning. So God, give us insight. God, give us your spirit to be able to carry it out. Thank you for crowning us with glory and honor. Thank you for making us royal. And God, allow us to show that to other people that we encounter this week. God, maybe even today. Thank you for our church. God, again, we pray that you will continue to speak to us and call us to be the church that you made us to be. God, we love you. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.